radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Miracles were now happening in Israel. God was moving again. It had been 400 years of silence. Jesus came. It was an awesome day to live. But they had crucified Jesus in that city. Now, you might think sometimes I've pushed the envelope too far. I've done something I should never have done, or God would never forgive me. And some people will say to you in kind of tongue-in-cheek, but really not, well, if I came to the church preacher, it'd probably fall down. We've heard this. You see, the devil loves to erect strongholds in people's lives. He loves to push people back on their heels to the point where they feel like there's no way out or through. But can I tell you, God is a God of salvation, redemption, revival, and restoration. And as we look at this passage, we're seeing Peter being restored, so much so that he's able to see what God's doing in a very unique way and circumstance. And it has set everybody in a state of amazement. The word for amazement has the idea of ecstasy. These people were ecstatic about what was going on here. In fact, the word is ecstasis. Okay, we get the word ecstasy from it. These people were like, this is amazing. Okay, can I tell you something? Just the fact that Jesus hasn't come yet, for anybody who doesn't know Him, they ought to be amazed, okay? Because this is getting out of control down here. But it is a promise couched in the reality that He tarries. The Bible says God's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. But He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. When the trumpet sounds, beloved, what's going to happen is the Christians, the true-born believers in Jesus Christ, are going to be raptured out of here. And all at once, a bunch of people who were churchgoers are going to wake up and say, wait a minute, I've been flirting with this thing, I never got it right, but I believe in Jesus, why am I still here? And for the first time, perhaps they'll dust off their Bibles, maybe plunder the internet trying to find some answers, which might be scrubbed pretty quickly thereafter, so you better figure it out now. But you never know, and it's going to get dicey down here. Perilous times, 2 Timothy 3 tells us. It's going to be hard. But they will overcome the beast by not loving their lives unto death. By the blood of Christ and the word of their testimony, they're going to overcome. But that's how it's going to have to be. At that time, it's not going to be easy. You know, we look at it today and we wonder, when's the other shoe going to drop? But I want you to know, Jesus, He's here now. He wants us all to engage and begin to see and begin to become more filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can parse out what's going on around us. Peter knew what was going on around him. 3,000 people just got saved. Peter knew what was going on around him. He knew that when he walked into that place, he didn't know maybe what he was going to do, but he knew God was going to go with him. Do you know God goes with you wherever you go? Do you go into the store thinking God's going with me into the store? And says, I just want milk. They always put the milk all the way in the back because you got to walk all the way through to get it. Right? So now you'll buy some other things. Well, listen, they put the milk in the back so you could find somebody between hither and yon, perhaps, that you can tell about Jesus. Guys, listen, we're not here for nothing. Jesus has got a plan. It's the same plan. Peter goes into this temple at the right time, in the right way. And what he finds is he finds some people whose hearts are ready to hear about Jesus again. Because they already heard about it. They knew this man since he was a child. They knew what had happened in Israel the past 3 years. They had heard the stories. The man at the gate probably had heard. Just like, remember, Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on him. He had heard before Jesus came, so he's shouting, look at us. Look at us, Peter said to this man. And when he looked at him, steadfastly, expecting something, he had no idea what he was about to get. But perhaps recognition dawned. And then faith began to kindle. And as you think about the blood that was on the hands of everybody just so recently, that was a golden gem in the midst of a dirty world. He healed this man
They walked in and everybody was encouraged, ecstatic, dumbfounded. Wouldn't you think if you had just said 50 days earlier, let His blood be upon us and upon our children, you would not have any more opportunity? These people had more opportunity because the church was born redemptively. Jesus' last words on the cross for those who were crucifying Him were these: Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. One of the strong, powerful confirmations of Jesus' resurrection is the fact that the church was born in Jerusalem, where He was crucified, and amongst those that did the crucifying. It is a fact of history. The church began in Jerusalem, and you would think it would have started anywhere but there. Redemption is amazing. Grace is amazing. You and I have a good Savior. He does it exactly like you needed Him to. You need to know that He loves you. The Bible says that they were set back in a sense of ecstasy, thinking, my goodness, what is going on? And I want to suggest to you that as these people gathered around, and Peter's taking it all in, and John's taking it all in, they're all looking and they're greatly wondering about what this might mean. And the word greatly wondering is an amplification of the dumbfoundedness they had, because the more they thought about it, the more it didn't make sense. Okay, what? You guys are still working here? We still work here. You know, Jesus is still working here? In spite of transgenderism, in spite of the killing of children that was taking place all these years, and all that's going on in our day-to-day from every government in the world somehow conspiring to be stupid, okay, it's ridiculous. Just take us home. When a country's going to bomb another country, what do? You pull back your citizens. Man, why isn't God bombing us? Because there's some people who are sitting at the gate who are still ready to come to Christ. We need to respect and appreciate that. This is not about your day-to-day job. This is not about your day-to-day life. It's not about you getting along and saying, I'm good, I don't want to think about anything. Rain on not thinking. Now's the time to think, beloved. Now's the time to think. Because things are getting real and you've got loved ones you need to tell about Jesus. The Bible says in verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered the people and said, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And why are you looking so earnestly on us as though by our power or our holiness we made this man to walk? The Bible says he looked upon it and he answered. The word is apokrinomai. Krinomai is the word we get the word crisis from. It meaning you have to make a choice. He's looking at what's going on and he's assessing it. And he sees what's going on. And he understands what he has to do. So he steps up and he says something. And that's for you and me. You need to see what your friends are thinking. You need to be a clean vessel. You need to be a clear vessel. You need to recognize that if somebody's at work that's from some persuasion that is possibly not saved, go home and study before you bring it in. But get a word in order so that if you get a chance to witness to them, you can. Because God's at work. You're there. Maybe they're Roman Catholic. Maybe they're Buddhists. Maybe they're Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. But you've got to share Jesus with them. But you can't really share if you don't know. So it's time to prepare. Peter was ready. These were Jews. These were his people. He knew what they came from, where they were from, what they thought, how they worked. You know, he was able to put himself into their shoes and say, these people saw this man forever. God's up to something. He didn't know how God was going to use this until he did. The Bible says he answered and said, you men of Israel, why are you marveling at this and why are you looking at us? It wasn't us. Isn't it a refreshing word? You got people all patting themselves on the back for whatever success the world might bring their way. And we have to be mindful not to let ourselves be eclipsing the Lord Jesus if we have some sort of ability, success, or whatever. The Bible says, why do you look so earnestly on us as though we did this by our power, listen, or our holiness? If somehow we made this man to walk, we didn't do it. The God of Abraham and Isaac, verse 13, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers hath glorified His Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence, in front of the face of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Think about how exacerbating this is.
He says, you delivered him up. You denied him right in front of a Gentile when he was determined to let him go. And you denied the Holy One and you desired a murderer. Now, guys, listen. That may sound harsh, but Peter realized, you know what? You got to get people lost before you can get them saved. You know? Well, on the day of Pentecost, the people heard him, and he said, you crucified him in chapter 2. And, man, people would have rushed the stage, you would have thought. Years ago, I remember there was one of these great evangelists, might have been Finney or one of these guys. They were preaching on a fair day. It was called a Maundy Monday, and they would have a little Mayfair type thing. What ended up happening was, as he was preaching, everybody was throwing rotten tomatoes and lettuce and, you know, vegetables at him as he's preaching. But what gave him strength in his memoirs was that the entire front line of the people that were there listening to him were little children sitting like little Indians right at the front. And they were looking at him like little angels, and their tears were falling down watching him preach through that kind of barrage. You see, that's kind of where we feel like we live today. But in that day, those people were taken back. They were dumbfounded. They were dumbstruck. And he says, you need to know that God has done a miracle in your midst. I can say to America, God has done a miracle in our midst. I didn't realize how much. I've preached it all my life. For all my walk with Jesus, I've been in churches that were all politically aware and astute. But I want you to know that I've never understood how unique America is as much as I have in the past few years. The very fact that you and I walk around as if nothing's wrong blows the mind when you look at the rest of the world. We are blessed. God has done a miracle here for 200 years plus. And we're getting to our last gasps, but the fact of the matter still remains. Of all of the denials, of all of the murders, of all of the terrible things that our country is guilty of, the Bible says that God Himself is still waiting for these people. And I believe He's waiting for you and me too. The Bible says you desired a murderer and you killed the Prince of Life. Wow! What an amazing... You killed the Prince of Life! You did it right in front of the powers of this world. You denied him. Now, I want to just give you a minute to ponder those times you might have denied him. Peter by the fire that night, warming himself, as they say, by the devil's fire. He was cold. Jesus is virtually naked and being beaten, mocked, spit upon, crown of thorns, smashed in the face, blindfolded, and chided. Prophesy. Who hit you? You ever warmed yourself at the devil's fire? Say, I'm not going to say anything. Somebody might not like me. I'm not going to say anything because I'm afraid. I'm not going to say anything because, well, you know, it's not politically correct. If you got it on you a little bit sometimes, not willing to talk and step out for Jesus, the Bible says, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Aren't you glad that's there? Because He raised Him from the dead, there's something else beyond the denials, beyond the delivering over, beyond the determining to take a murderer rather than Jesus Himself. Doubling down. Do you notice that's what's happening today? The world is doubling down in their sin. They're doubling down in their sins. Maybe churches across America doubling down. I don't know. Hopefully there's people getting up. I've met some people along the way that are Christians that have witnessed to me. I'm like, oh man, thanks for witnessing to me. Two, in fact, in the past year I've run into. That if it is, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, I'm like, wow, I've never had that. Okay? One time when I was a teenager, I had a guy witness to me. And it was the only time I can remember ever happening in a very forthright, proper way. No, he says, we are witnesses of His resurrection.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.